If you can turn to Ecclesiastes in your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And young people, I'm going to preach a message that is for you and I guess addressed to you. But I will say to the adults, I think everything that the Bible teaches young people, we can sure learn from it also. And so we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 if you have a Bible. If not, if you just listen up, I'll read the scripture for you. But Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verse number 1, I think is one of the most important verses in the Bible for young people. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Verse 2, "While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." Verse number 1, "Remember now thy Creator." When? In the days of thy youth. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help the young people sit up straight and tall now as we're having the preaching, and just bless them, dear God. Thank you for them being here. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts in a wonderful way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Very good. Folks, let me just rejoice for a minute here. I had them text me the numbers so that we would know how many pews to save here. And at Blessed Oak Baptist Church this morning, from 5th grade through 12th grade, there's 64 young people here that fall in that age category. That's pretty awesome. You pray for our Sunday school teachers, because we got 5th and 6th grade teachers, 5th and 6th grade boys, 5th and 6th grade girls teachers, and they're going to be needing to follow up on these kids and get them locked in. We have, of course, our 7th through 12th grade teachers. We have our youth department, Brother Gordon, that's going to be following up on them. By the way, young people, look right up here. Guys, hey, no more talking, okay? Look right up here, all right? How many of you are in 5th and 6th grade? All right, would you stand if you're in 5th and 6th grade? All right, very good. Now, look right up here because I want to tell you something. Brother Gordon, would you stand also? And Sister Rachel, will you stand also? Next Sunday when you come, you will not be in this service, okay? So I'm going to ask you just for 1 week to sit in kind of the big church with the adults and really kind of act like adults and help us out here. But next Sunday when you come, we have a special church called Next Level Church, and it will be back there in the back building, and it'll be kind of more geared towards your age group. But we wanted you to be in here because we have a special spotlight. So how about that, folks? Is that exciting to have that many 5th and 6th graders? All right, you can be seated, and I know that you young people set up and you'll do a good job today, and that's why we brought you in here, because I believed you could. Now, really focus in for the next few moments. If you'll listen on purpose, I think after a while, then I'll be able to keep your attention and have your attention. But it's important that we understand a little bit about this verse here. Ecclesiastes is one of the most fascinating books in all of the Bible. God used a king, the king of Israel, to pen this book of the Bible. By the way, not just any king, but the wisest king that ever graced the throne of Israel. The man who wrote this book was, how many know who it was? You say it with me? Solomon, King Solomon. Good. When God had him write this book, King Solomon was no longer a young man, okay? No longer a young man. He was not at the beginning of his life, and he wasn't in the middle years of his life. He was at the very end of his life. And the theme of the book, by the way, think about this, is the vanity of life. Now, he wrote 3 books of the Bible, okay? He wrote the Song of Solomon when he was very young. He wrote the Proverbs in his middle years. But Ecclesiastes is the book that he's writing right before he's ready to pass into eternity. Now think about that, okay? And so Solomon uses this book to warn the next generation. The theme of the book is the vanity of life. Well, that don't sound very encouraging. Well, what does vanity mean? Emptiness? Emptiness of life? And what he was warning us was this. He was simply saying that at the end of your lives, young people, there will be nothing but vanity and vexation of spirit if you decide that you're going to spend your life chasing what you want instead of doing what God wants you to do. And I see some older people nodding their head right now. You know what? Life goes by very quickly, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. In this closing chapter, he stops and he specifically, this wisest king of Israel, specifically addresses young people. Today's youth spotlight day at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And by the way, we've reserved here at the front, I already mentioned our VIP seating, 5th through 12th graders. We've been dedicated this entire weekend to trying to minister to this age group. On Friday night, we had a service and had, I think, 70-some young people in this age category in that service. The next day, I haven't got the final number on the next day, but we had a much larger crowd on Saturday. And over the course of those 2 days, we got to see 27 young people receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And, you know, we're putting a spotlight on you this morning. But you know what? King Solomon, at the end of this book he's writing, he puts the spotlight on the young people also. And all through this weekend, Brother Nichols preached. And when Brother Gordon got to have the Sunday school hour with the young people. And by the way, if you come back tonight, Brother Max is going to preach. And so, you know, this is, I basically today, for the most part this weekend, turned it over to the younger people. And so the middle-aged Solomons have had their shot. Tonight, we're going to have the young Solomon. I'm just praying that he doesn't preach out of the Song of Solomon, amen. That could be really awkward. You pray about that. But I guess I'm the Ecclesiastes version of the ones that are going to be preaching. If you think about that, let me have your hearts and listen to me for a few minutes, if you will. If you look at verse number 12, consider with me this verse. I want you to say the second word. If you got a Bible, Ecclesiastes 12, what's the second word in verse number 1? Can you say it? 1, 2, 3. Now. Remember when? Now. Remember now thy Creator. Now think about that. When is now? What does he mean now? Remember now thy Creator. When? In the days of thy youth. So he stops, an old man, at the end of his life. And you know what? He's chased everything and done everything and seen everything. And he said, listen, if it wasn't for the fact that there is a God, and if it wasn't for the fact that there's something after this life, all of this would have been vanity and vexation of spirit. Young people, listen, what he was saying to a younger generation was this: there is the world and all that it has to offer, and there is God and all that he has to offer. And if you chase the world at the end of your life, you're going to sit there and say this was vanity and vexation of spirit. But you know what? There's a better way to live. Remember now, remember now, remember now. Listen, young people, God wants you to do some things now. Now at your age, not when you're 20, not when you're 30, not waiting till you're 40, not waiting till you get to the end of your life. He wants you to remember your Creator when? Now, in the days of thy youth. Remember God. Remember now that God has a plan for your life. Remember now that God created you. Remember now that God loves you. Remember now that he has a plan for your life. So we're going to focus on that word now. Young people, there's some things you need to do now that you don't want to put off until you're 20. You don't want to put off until you're 30. Now, I'm going to just have 2 points to my message because there's only 2 groups of people here. And I'm going to kind of turn it around to what I maybe normally would do. I want to, first of all, talk to people that are saved here. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior. By the way, some of these young people that are sitting here in these pews this morning, folks, they received Jesus Christ literally 2 days ago or 1 day ago. And so they're brand new in their Christian life. And I want to talk to you that got saved Friday night, that got saved on Saturday. But we also have young people in here that you've been saved longer than that. Some of the young people up here have been saved for 2 years. Some have been saved for 4 years, 5 years. We've got some young people in these front few rows that have almost been saved for 10 years. But listen to me, you're still in the days of your youth. And you know what? You've got a chance to make some decisions. And God wants you to do it now. He didn't want you to put it off. Well, preacher, you know, one of these days when I get my act together, one of these days when I get out of high school, or one of these days when I finally finish college, or one of these days when I get my career path, then I'm going to remember my Creator. No, no, no. Remember Him now. Remember Him now. Let me talk to the saved young people first of all. I believe the time to sell out to the Lord is in the days of your youth. The time to sell out to the Lord is in the days of your youth. I'm talking to those of you that are already saved. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior. But God didn't save you so that you could just go back into the world and be the same as you were before. He saved you to change you. He saved you so He could guide you to the plan He has for your life. Romans chapter 12, I'll just read it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a lot of words, but what does it say, preacher? It is God begging you, beseeching you. I mean, literally, young people, listen, I'm not at the beginning of my life. I'm at the end of my life. In fact, there's two young ladies that got saved, and this was Friday night, and they were sitting, I think, about on the third or fourth row, right there on the end, and I saw that they had their names called, and I saw that they were newly saved, and I was standing over there just kind of watching the whole thing, and I slipped over there while they were kind of doing some announcements, and I knelt down, and I said to both of them, I'm so glad that you got saved at the age you are now. I said, how old are you? And one of them said 12. How old are you? One of them said 14. And I said, you know what? I got saved when I was young, in my youth. And I said, I was even younger than you. And they said, well, how old were you? And I said, well, I was not quite 6 years of age. And they looked at me and I said, and I got saved when I was young. And you got saved now that you're young and you can give your life to the Lord, you can serve the Lord. And one of them said, well, how old are you now? And I said, I'm 63. And they looked at each other and the other girl, one of the girls looked at me and said, you're old. That's always, you know, I'm on my knee trying to be a blessing to these bratty, I mean, these wonderful young people, trying to encourage them. And they look at me, you're old. Look right up here. Look right up here, young people. You know what? When I was your age, I was sitting in the very pews you're sitting in right now. Okay, and it wasn't that long ago. You know what? Let's watch this. When I was in fifth grade, I was sitting in the pew you're sitting in right now. I was going to the church you're going to right now. When I was in sixth grade, okay, if they'd have had something like this, I'd have been sitting with y'all right here. And you know what happened? Life happened. Life is like a vapor that appeared for a very short time, and then it vanishes away. Oh, so preacher, I've got all this time. Well, wait a minute. I thought I had all that time too, but guess what? Life happens. And you're going to blink a couple. The young people, listen to me. This is why you got to make the decision now. You need to make the decision now that you're going to sell out for God, because if you wait and you put it off, you know what? The next thing's going to come, and then the next thing's going to come. And then I don't know how many times, Brother Nichols, I've dealt with young people. Said, you know, and no, preacher, just let me get through high school. I've got all these activities and all these things I'm doing, and as soon as I graduate, I'll get serious about serving the Lord. And then you run into them later, and they're, well, you know, I'm working through college, and I'm working on my degree, but as soon as I get that all straightened out, you know what? Then I'm going to serve the Lord. And then next thing you know, you run into them and they're like, you know, I'm trying to get my career off the ground and I just got recently married. And then you see them a few years later. You know, the kids have so many activities. And you know what happens? The devil will take your entire life away from you because you did not make the decision now. Now's when you need to make the decision to serve the Lord. He says, I beg you. I mean this, if I thought it would make a difference, I would get on my knees and look at every one of you sweet, precious young ladies and beg you, sell out to God. Sell out to His will. There's so much heartache out there. There's so many things that have consequence. Sin has consequence. There's so many things the devil will put in front of you that looks all shiny and wonderful. But wait a minute, you know what? I have been in this church for a while. I grew up in this church. I was a youth pastor here. I've pastored it now for all of these years. Listen to me. I've watched young person after young person after young person that sat in these same pews and had just the same potential. And God's hand was on them. And he did truly save them. But they never sold out. They never sold out. I got one decision card from one of the girls that got saved. You know, you're supposed to check whatever decision you made. So most of the cards you get them, and it says salvation, salvation, salvation. One girl filled out the card, and she checked salvation, baptism, dedication, church membership, and she just checked everything. Hey, man, you know what you what do you want us to do this morning? I want you to check everything. I want you to just decide. I got saved. It's time to get baptized. After that, I got baptized. Time to join Blessed Hope Baptist Church. After that, you know what? I'm going to be a part of the next level church. I'm going to be a part of the youth group. I'm going to start serving the Lord. I'm going to come to teen soul winning. I'm going to come to the activities. Friday night, by the way, members, Friday night, you'd have been so blessed, many of you, because many of you had a part in their lives. But we asked Pastor Jesse McCammon and his sweet wife, Heather, to drive all the way over from Florida, Illinois, and just to have about 3 minutes time. And they did. They brought their kids. I thanked them over and over again for doing it. But you know what they did? They walked up here as a couple, and they looked at the kids, and they said, there was a time, Jesse said, there was a time I was a little boy, and I got on a big red bus and came to Vacation Bible School. And you know what? God changed my life, and God saved me. And then I kind of got out of church for a while, but then I started going back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and all of a sudden I decided, watch this, it's time to sell out. It's time to go all the way. It's time to check all the boxes. It's time to decide, if God loved me enough to save me, then you know what, the least I could do is live for him. And so you know what, he said, I got serious in my teenage years, and I sold out. Then it was Heather's turn, and she said, you know, I came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church for a while. And by the way, just like many of you, and I love you, and I'm not upset with any of you. I'm glad you're here. Every time you walk in the door, I'm glad you're here. But you know what? She came sometimes. She didn't come sometimes. And you know what? She wouldn't come to Sunday night. She wouldn't come to Wednesday night. She'd come Sunday morning. Her mom and dad kind of hit and miss. She was kind of hit and miss. Then one day, you know what? One of our young ladies showed a little interest in her and talked her into going to teen camp. And she went to teen camp. By the way, some of you teenagers, you know what? The next teen trip we take, you need to be on that bus. Next time we go to camp, you need to be on that bus. Next time we go to an activity, you need to be on that bus. And you know what? All of a sudden she said, I went to teen camp. And I sat there for a week, listened to the preaching of the Bible. And this is her words, folks. I mean, as best as I can remember, not exact word for word, but she said, you know what? I came home and decided it was time to get serious about serving the Lord. It was time to completely sell out. And you know what? She had a mom and dad, bless their hearts, that weren't real faithful. And you know what? She went to them and said, Mom and Dad, I want to start living this way, and I want to start going to every service, and I want to start carrying my Bible to church, and I'm going to change the way I dress, and I'm going to start selling out, living my life for God. And you know what? Here they stand. Years later, he's pastoring a church. She's a pastor's wife. Why? Because they decided to remember now. Now, Brother Val, I think if Jesse would have put it off and said, well, let me go to the university first. I mean, he's valedictorian of his public school class. He's valedictorian of his public school class. He had scholarship and offers to go to universities. If he'd have said, well, you know, as soon as I get that done, as soon as I get this done, you know what? I don't think he'd be pastor. He decided while he was still in high school, he decided, I'm going to take my Bible to school. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start acting like a Christian. I'm going to start talking like a Christian. What I'm saying is, listen, remember, now's the time to sell out. Now's the time to sell out. Think about that. As we were having the service, my mind went back to one of the very first public school youth revivals, outreaches we had here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I happened to preach that particular revival. And there was a young man sitting on the back row back there. And you know what? He'd been in church and out of church and came sometime and didn't come sometime. And sometimes he'd come here to go to youth power hour at 6 o'clock. And he'd hide in the parking lot because he didn't want to go to youth power hour, and he would sneak instead out to the gymnasium with a buddy of his. And while he was supposed to be downstairs, and I'm telling on a preacher right now. He is a preacher right now, but I'm telling on him. And he used to, and I'd hear a basketball. I was down here at the very end down here, and I hear a basketball bouncing. I'd go out there, and I'd open the door and say, "Hey, you two, come on." Real excited about Jesus, okay? But he came to a meeting like you got to come to on Friday night, like you got to come to on Saturday. And he sat back there at the back. And you know what he said? He said, "You know what? I've been playing a game. I'm not really saved. I'm not really born again. If I die right now, I'm going to go to hell." And you know what? Afterwards, he sought out one of our bus captains, Brother Bo Eichelman. And you know what he did? He said, "I need to get saved. I need to get serious about this thing." And after he got saved, you know what he said? "I'm going to be here Sunday morning. I'm going to be here Sunday night. I'm going to be here Wednesday night." You know what? He was a starter on the basketball team, one of our local high schools, played in the band, very popular in the public school, went home, told his mom and dad last year, said, "Mom and dad, I want to go to the Christian school. God's called me to be a preacher, and I might as well start planning on doing it now." You say, where is he now? He's pastoring a church. I'll see him in a couple weeks. He wants me to go out there to the New England, a Save New England conference, and he asked me, his pastor, to be the keynote speaker at the couple nights out there, and I'm going to go out there. But you know what? You know what happened, young people? If he'd have waited, "Well, preacher, you know what? I'm having too much fun, and I'd have to give this up." And I'd have, listen, stop thinking about what you are giving up and start thinking about what you're getting. Let me tell you what you're giving up if you go into the world. Probably a divorce. Let me tell you what you're giving up if you go out in the world. Probably an addiction that you're never going to have to deal with, that you will have to deal with if you go into the world. Broken dreams, broken heart, broken life. And by the way, you know what? Hey, adults, it doesn't matter where you're at and what time of life you're at. God will still take you where you're at, and he'll still help you. And he can take what's left of your life and make it wonderful and great and glorious. But you know what? All of the scars will still be there. They don't have to be there if you'll just to decide now. Now is the time in the days of your youth to sell out for the Lord. Hey, young people, I sat where you said, I'm telling you, I was sitting here as a fifth grader. I was sitting here as a sixth grader. And you were the preacher. You were the pastor's kid. I was. My dad pastored Blessed Oak Baptist Church. But you know what? Just because you're a pastor's kid doesn't mean that you don't have to decide for yourself whether you're going to sell out to God or not. And I remember I got about 15, 16, got my driver's license, and all of a sudden the things of the world, I started working and making money, and I liked this, and I wanted to buy this, and I wanted to do this. And then I got this idea in my head that, you know what, I want to be in law enforcement. And man, I got excited about that. And people in the church like Don Mowry, and people in the church like Jack Gordon, people in the church like Jim Townsley would come up to me and say, "Have you prayed about this?" And you know what I'd do? I'd lie to them. I'd lie through my teeth. "Oh, yeah, I prayed about this. I didn't want to pray about it." You know why? Because I wanted to do it. Okay, and I was afraid if I prayed about it, God would tell me no. So I just figured maybe he'll just go along with my plan, you know, here. And so I was working part-time for a guy, and he was a part-time deputy. And so after work, we'd go down and hang out at the sheriff's office. That's cool when you're 15 and 16. I rode around in the squad cars with him. I mean, Sheriff Hyatt from Sullivan County, he took me up in his airplane. We would look for marijuana fields. I mean, tell me that's not cool, okay? All right, so we're flying around. I'm like, this is God's will for my life. Well, have you asked him? No, but I'm sure it's God's will for my life. And you know what God was saying? Why don't you sell out to me? Why don't you ask me? By the way, do we need Christians in law enforcement? Absolutely. Nothing wrong with going in law enforcement if it's God's will. Do we need, we're going to honor a bunch of them next week. Do we need Christians firefighters? We need Christian men and women in every arena of life. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I wanted to do my thing, my way, and I didn't want to ask God what his will was because I was scared he would want me to do something that I didn't want to do. I'm talking about this, young people. Now is the time to sell out. So all of a sudden, Sheriff Hyatt came to me one day, "Jerry, how'd you like to go up to Indianapolis and go through a 2-week program with the State Police Academy?" They're looking for young men that are juniors and seniors in high school. Now, you're going to put an application in. You got to get letters of recommendation. But if you send it in, you know what? They're going to select two young people from every county. And you know what? If you send it in, you might get picked. Man, I went. I had to write an essay. I had to get people letters of recommendation. I had to put this whole packet together. I sent it off. Man, every day for 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to the mailbox looking, And all of a sudden, a letter came, and there it is. And guess what? I got accepted. One of only two people in Greene County, Indiana, that was going to get a free ride 2 weeks to go up to hang out with the state troopers and go through this mini academy that's introducing high school young men and women into the law enforcement arena. So I'm walking around with this letter now. Don Mary, see, I told you it was God's will. All right, Jack Gordon, I see. See, everybody see this, you know. I mean, if God wasn't in it, I wouldn't have got picked. I mean, all of this. Have you prayed about it yet? Nope. You know why? Because it was what I wanted to do. I don't want to pray. Come on, I'm being honest with you now. Now, if you asked me back then, did you pray about it? I'd be going, oh, yeah, you know, sure. Yeah, I don't need to. Look, I got the letter. I got the letter right here. So we're about to finish high school. I'm not high school, but I'm getting ready to finish my junior year. And about 3 weeks into the summer, I'm going to get to go to this camp. So I'm going to go work for 3 weeks. And so I work for a guy that installed flooring and not Jeff Reiser. I was not working for Jeff Reiser, all right? Close, but I wasn't working for Jeff Reiser. A guy by the name of Mr. Smith. And you know what? He had a floor installation business there and sold flooring. And I went with him, and I helped load his van, and I was his grunt guy, and I was his right hand. And I'd worked for him before, and that's what I was going to do this summer. And for man, every day I'm talking about, you know what? I need these 2 weeks off. Yeah, you can have them off. Man, I'm God's will. I got the letter. And so, you know, I'm going to go to the state academy. I'm going to go there. Finally, we're about a week away. And all of a sudden, we get back to the floor store there. And he says, Jerry, once you clean out the van and everything, and here's what we needed supplies for the next job, you can stock that up. He said, then there's a little patch of grass behind the shop that if you could just start to mow her up real quick and mow that patch of grass right there, we'll be ready to go. And I said, all right. Now, at that age, man, well, one thing my dad did teach me is to work, you know. And so anything I was given like that, man, I was just like on it, you know. Clean that van out, perfect. Get the next supplies, checklist everything. Grab the mower, check the oil, check the gas, pull the thing, push it out there. You know, just a little patch of grass about the size of this right here. And I'm in such a hurry, you know, that I'm going to mow the grass. And so this is what I did with a push mower. Anybody ever used a push mower before? All right, good, about half of you. All right, that's sad. Anyway, push mower. And, you know, if you're using a push mower and you're smart, which I can't say I really wasn't, but then you would want to go like this, get to the end, and either you can go in a square or you can turn it around and go like this. But, man, you know, I'm Jerry Ross, Superman. I'm going to go 100 miles an hour. I do everything fast. So I was running with the mower like this, almost running with it. And then I would jerk it over like this. I'd start running backwards with it like this. And then I'd jerk it over, and I'd start going like this. And then I'd jerk it over, and I'd start going back like this. And about the third pass through, there was a little pipe somebody had beat into the ground, but it was sticking out about that much. And I'd never seen it before. I'd mowed this patch of grass several times. And I didn't see it, but as I'm going back, my heel catches on it like that. And I start losing my balance. And I'm trying not to lose my balance. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to fall. This is stupid. Well, I shouldn't have been thinking about that. I should have been thinking, let go of the mower, dummy. I didn't let go of the mower. My foot's caught. I can't get it to go. I pull the mower over my foot. And just, oh, yes, amen. I got a couple of them, all right. Woke that one girl up. Sorry about that. And all of a sudden, I jerk it off my foot. I'm laying there. Now, guess what? Was I wearing steel-toed boots? Of course I wasn't wearing steel-toed boots. I was wearing original. By the way, original. Chuck Taylor, original. Chuck Taylor, All-Star Converse. The white ones? Come on now. Not these new remakes that y'all are buying, all right? Not the fake stuff. This was not the Chinese stuff. This was genuine. Chuck Taylor, that is not what you should be wearing when you're mowing the grass. And my white tennis shoes, I stand up and I start looking at them. The end of it's kind of all mangled and all of a sudden it starts kind of turning pink instead of white. And I realize, I think I got an issue here. I think I got a problem. So I start walking over to the store. I'm right there. And I open the back door. Mr. Smith's gone and Mrs. Smith is with some customers trying to sell some carpet. And I said, Mrs. Smith. And she said, just a minute, Jerry. She's talking to some customers. I'm like waiting a second. Mrs. Smith, Jerry, just a minute. I said, Mrs. Smith, what? I said, and this, I promise it was this much. I said, listen, I was mowing the grass. I fell backwards. I pulled the mower over my foot and I mangled it all up and I'm starting to get a little lightheaded. And so I did something and I'm going to go wait in the van. And she's going, wah! Wah! And I'm like, wah! She's running around. I said, I'll be in the van. And, she grabs her purse. She's ripping things. She's looking for the keys. Customers are freaking out. I went, psycho chick, man. And, you know, I'm going to go wait in the van. I go and I sit in the van and I sit in the van and I'm sitting in the van. I'm thinking I'm going to bleed out here in the van. Finally, she comes running out with the keys. She found them somewhere. She starts the engine. I'm like, you know, I'm okay. And she steps in reverse. And she puts on the gas and backs up. And I'm like, and then she starts blowing through stop signs and blowing through red lights. And I thought, we're both going to be in the emergency room. We're going to die on them. I kept trying to settle her down. And she's just driving like she's a NASCAR driver. Pulls up from the emergency room. They put me on a stretcher, put me in a room, and doctor finally comes in and he cuts my Converse tennis shoes on both sides and pulls it off. And then there's my sock, you know, and it's kind of, so he cuts my sock and he pulls it off. And I look at my foot, and he looks at my foot, and I'm looking at my foot, he's looking at my foot. And I look at the doctor and I said, where's my toe? Where's my toe? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I think you need to find out. Where's my toe? He said, I don't know. Well, why don't you check my sock? He goes over and goes like this. No toe falls. Well, check my shoe. And he goes over and about that time, nurse comes in and I said, somebody needs to find my toe. And then all of a sudden they stick a needle in my arm and I'm like, somebody needs to find my toe. Then everything goes black, okay? I don't remember anything else. And all of a sudden, hours later, I wake up. Have anybody ever been, any of you young people ever had surgery where they put you under, okay? All right, okay. So you guys know when you're coming out of that thing, it's kind of like you're hearing voices out there somewhere, and you're trying to get to the surface, and you kind of see a light. Must be Jesus. I probably died. And then you sink back into unconsciousness. Then you fight your way. And then you start seeing, you know, men as trees. And then all of a sudden you get, and then I wake up and there's my mom and my grandma. Now, if you're 16 and you wake up in the hospital, the two people you really, I mean, I love my mom. Don't get me wrong. I love my grandma, but that's not who I wanted to see. And they're both going, they're crying, you know, and grandma keeps patting my hand. I'm like, what? Where am I? You know, I don't even know who I am, where I am, what I am. And all of a sudden I remember, oh, the lawnmower. Wait, my sock. Where's my toe? That's my last thought. And I look down, there's Band-Aids all over my foot. And I'm looking at it and I'm trying to get mom. And she's crying. And she, Grandma, tell me what, they aren't helping me at all. And about that time, Mr. Smith, that owns the carpet place, he comes busting in and he looks over at me. And he said, hey, Jerry, hi, ladies. And he said, Jerry, I got good news. I said, what? He said, I found your toe. And my grandma went, and I'm like, Mom, get Grandma out. Take her out. So Mom starts taking Grandma out the door. And my grandma, the last thing I hear her say is, I just keep thinking when he was a little baby, he had the cutest toe. Mom, get her out, you know. So us men can talk, you know. So finally they're out the door and he's like, he's apologizing. I'm so sorry, ma'am, that was so insensitive of me. I am so sorry. And you know, we get him out. And then he comes over and I said, you found my toe? He said, yeah. And I said, incredible, where is it? He said,
I said, well, where'd you find it? It was in the backyard by the mower. And I said, so where is it? And he kind of looked at me. I kind of looked at him. And he said, hey, where's my toe? Where's my toe? And he says, well, I said, well, what? Where's my toe? And he said, well, I buried it. I said, you buried my toe? Is that even legal? Well, we're not talking about a cat that got run over by a truck. We're not talking about opossums. This is a part of me, all right? My toe, you buried it? I mean, shouldn't he have taken it like to a cemetery, you know, and have a little toe-sized tombstone, you know? Here lies Jerry Ross's big toe, you know? For you Bible scholars, by the way, I'm one of the few people in the world that am going to get raptured twice, okay? Come on, think about it. Come on. The dead in Christ shall rise first. There goes my toe right up in. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. It's all you guys. When you get raptured, you get saved. Jesus comes, you get raptured up. You help me look for my toe, okay? Look around. If you find it, bring it back to me, okay? And we're kind of laughing at this point. But wait a minute. Mr. Smith goes, and Dad comes in, and he goes, and Mom comes in, and Grandma, and they go, and then the nurse comes in, and are you okay? And then it's late at night, and then it's just you and God. Okay? And young people, listen to me. All of a sudden, it hit me. Wait a minute, I can't go to that state police thing. I mean, I had my whole summer planned out what I was going to do, and now I'm going to be hobbling around on crutches trying to get well, you know, trying to let my foot heal up. And God, in the quietness, well, I want you to hear me. Young people, it's so much better if you just decide to surrender. If you just decide to sell out. It's so much better. Listen, some of you are worried about what's God going to have to do to get your attention? I mean, think about it. What's he going to have to do to get your attention? Well, I got this whole thing planned out. Have you even prayed about it? Watch this. Is it God's will or is it your mom and dad's will? Is it God's will or is it your will? Is it God's will or is it the guidance counselor's will? Is it God's will or is it grandpa's will? Listen, all those people might be great people, but they're not God. And some of you need to make a decision. Remember when? Now. When? In the days of thy youth. Because if you won't nail it down, I'm talking about church kids right here. We've got some bus kids. I'm talking about church kids and Christian families and in the Christian school. And you still haven't sold out to God and whatever his will is for your life. And you may have gone through the motions, but in the back of your head, you already are holding back. And you've got a plan, and you're thinking of what you want to do, and you won't surrender to whatever God has for your life. You've not ever truly done it. I don't care how many trips you made to an altar at some camp somewhere. I've knelt down, watch this, with dozens of young people through the year from Blessed Hope and listened to them sell out to God, then watch them pull a Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, listen, there's two choices, young people, once you're saved. There's God and his will and his way. Yeah. By the way, you're a child of God now. Okay? And you got a Heavenly Father that loves you. But you also got a Heavenly Father that will discipline you. Yes. Or you can go the world's way. Okay? Now, let me finish up by telling you this. I've spoken and used the most of my time to talk to Christian young people. It is time for some of you to sell out to the Lord. Preacher, I'm going to have people in my life disappointed with me, mad at me. Nobody's going to understand. Heather stood right up here and said, I went back to school and decided to change my life. And friends forsook me. And people laughed at me. And they made fun of me. But you know what? She's happily married in the will of God, serving God, doing what God wants to with her life. She made the right decisions. Amen. Jesse McCammon, I've never told him to do this, brother. Snyder, we never put any pressure. I never even suggested he do this. I told him, start bringing your Bible. Start being a good testimony at the public school. We tried to get him into Christian school. His dad wanted him to finish there. Hey, honor thy father and thy mother, okay? I'm not going to get between him and his parents. So, all right, but you can be a Christian there at the public school. That kid wanted to send a clear message, and he got up. I don't know if you know this or not, Brother Nichols, but he got up every single day as a 16, 17-year-old, last 2 years of high school, and got a white shirt on and a tie on and a pair of slacks on, King James Holy Bible. And I didn't tell him to do that. But he wanted everybody in that school to know, I'm God's. I'm doing God's will. You know, they'll call, come on, they're going to call some of you Jesus girls, Jesus boys, church boy, church, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to fold like a lawn chair because somebody makes fun of you a little bit? Okay, those same friends that you are so worried about impressing, you know how many people I'm close to that I was in high school with in the public school? Nobody. Nobody. And yet their opinion means more than God. They won't even remember your name in 4 or 5 years. They'll see you once a year at a high school reunion, maybe. Maybe. So remember now. The time to sell out to the Lord's in the days of your youth. The time to be saved, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, is in the days of your youth. I love that you young people, many of you got saved. D.L. Moody came back from a revival meeting one day and he said this. He said, I saw 3.5 saved at my last meeting. What a funny statement. I saw 3.5, how many did you see saved? Brother Moody, I saw 3.5 saved. And the man said this, he said, so you saw 3 adults and 1 child? He said, no. I saw 3 children and 1 adult. Now think about that. Now come on, think about it. If an adult gets saved, by the way, if you're an adult, get saved. Hey man, it's better to have God for the rest of your life than die and go to hell without him. Get saved. But I'm going to tell you right now, when a young person gets saved, they can give their whole life to God. When an adult gets saved, listen, I was back there, I was standing there holding 2 decision cards. I was holding 2 decision cards. And one of them was, I told our class this, I told our auditorium Sunday school class this, a 50-year-old man and his wife came to bring their 2 girls to church. When the invitation was given to accept Christ, in a teen revival, sitting in the back was a 50-year-old man who stood to his feet and said, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So I got his decision card in one hand, and it says age, 50 years of age. I just randomly pick up another one, and it says a kid's name, and they're 10 years of age, and I'm thinking, okay. By the way, I Googled this, and you know Google never lies to you, okay, all right? Average lifespan of an American. Average lifespan of Americans, 77 years old. By the way, it's different between male and female. Girls, you're going to be okay, all right? Guys, get you some insurance, all right? The girls are going to need it, all right? Girls are almost 80. We're down to 73, but it ends up being 77. So I'm holding this and thinking to myself, praise God this man got saved 50 years of age. But you know what? If he lives the normal lifespan, he can give 27 years to God. But I pick up this other card and this little 10-year-old that got saved, I looked at that and thought to myself, you know what? If he lives the regular lifespan, he can give 67 years of his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll remember now. If you'll remember now. Listen, and I'm done. Preacher, when should somebody get saved? When should somebody get saved? I can give you the answer. The day you realize you're a sinner, you ought to get saved. The day you realize that the penalty of your sin is death, which includes an eternity in hell, that day you realize that, you ought to get saved. That's the day. The day that you understand the gospel, and the gospel is very simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, was buried, and rose again the 3rd day. He died for your sins. He took your place. He was your substitute. And you know what? The last thing is this, the day you realize that you must believe and receive to get the gift of eternal life, you can be saved. Now, when should you get saved? Now? Now? Say, preacher, you said there was 2 things young people ought to do in the days of their youth. Yeah, you ought to sell out to God. You ought to sell out to the Lord. And if you're not saved, you ought to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. Because listen to me, if you die and you're not saved, you know what that means? That means for all eternity, you get to spend regretting that you didn't do it now. God used the Apostle Paul to write these words, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When should a person get saved? Do it now. Do it now. So I'm kneeling down there Friday night, and I'm talking to these two girls, and they just got saved. And by the way, they were excited. It was just so neat. As I was talking to them, I looked at them, and I said, so I want to make sure you understand this. And I looked at, quoted, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, so did you truly trust Christ, him alone for your salvation? Did you call and pray and ask him to save you? They both said yes. And I said, so what's this verse say? You might go to heaven, you might be saved. They said, oh no, we're going to heaven. Now this is a telling question. I said, let me ask you this. Before you came here and you got saved today, if you would have died, where would you have gone? And I remember looking at that young lady's face, and they looked at each other, and this one young lady just got the most horrible expression. She said, preacher, I would have gone to hell. Now, folks, listen, if you're not saved, there's only two groups in the whole world. One old preacher used to say that you're either a saint or you ain't. Okay? You're either saved or you're lost. There isn't some halfway in between thing. You can either look back at a time in your life where you were born again. Come on, we just had birthday Sunday. You were born physically on a certain day at a certain time, and it's probably in your birth certificate. It tells you the exact day, exact time. You may not know the exact day, exact time, but you can go back in your mind to an exact moment where, you know what? I was under conviction of sin. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was headed to a devil's hell. And you know what? I understood the gospel that Jesus died for me, was buried, rose again, and I called out and asked him to save me and meant it with all of my heart. Now, many of you, as I say that, look right up here. You remember, yeah, I can tell you, preacher, where I was. Maybe not everything about it, but where I was. Can't tell you maybe the exact day, but I can tell you approximately. And you got a memory of that, a memory of that. Some of you are like, preacher, I don't remember ever doing that. Listen, when is the time to get saved? Now. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. You guys have been wonderful. Sit up straight and tall, please. Great job, everybody. Great job. Thank you so much. Great job. Let me ask you, first of all, about salvation. By the way, if you got saved Friday, you don't need to get saved again. If you got saved on Saturday, you don't need to get saved again. You know what? Once saved, you are saved. You become a child of God. Well, let me ask you this question. You may be sitting there and say, preacher, if I was honest, if I was 100% honest, if I died right now, I don't know where I'd go. I don't remember ever really understanding the gospel, really being under conviction of sin, really trusting Jesus as my Savior. I just don't remember that. I don't think I've ever done it. Preacher, God is working in my heart. By the way, God has to do the work in your heart. Preacher, I feel God convicting me of my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. I feel God drawing me. I know he wants me to be saved. Preacher, I'm not saved. Listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. And again, if you got saved Friday, you don't need to get saved again. You got saved Saturday, you don't need to get saved again. But if you've never been saved, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know for sure. I'll go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. And I'd like somebody to talk to me. I'd like to get that settled now. Would you raise your hand? Nobody's looking. I won't embarrass anybody. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody? Anybody say, preacher, I need to be saved now. By the way, there may be an adult here without Christ as their Savior. I need to be saved now, preacher. I need to settle this thing once and for all. Anybody at all? Young people, I took most of my message this morning, and I prepared it for those of you that are saved. I don't care if you've only been saved less than 24 hours, and that's some of you. Or I don't care if you've been saved for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, 9 years, maybe 10 years. The question is this. Have you sold out to the Lord? Have you really said, God, I will do whatever you tell me to do? I want your will for my life. Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I am saved. I am saved. But I've never really completely sold out when it came to serving the Lord and doing whatever his will is. Preacher, I'm saved, but I'm not sold out. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Preacher, I've never made that decision. I've never really made that decision. Would you raise your hand? All over. Amen. Just a minute, we're going to have an invitation time. I'm going to give you a chance to leave your pew and come up here to the altar and spend some time praying. Young people, you know what? After God got my attention, after I got out of the hospital, you know what I decided? I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. And I want you to make that decision now in the days of your youth. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these young people being so honest. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them as they, Lord, nailed this thing down. If there's anybody, I didn't see any hands, but if there's anybody without you, anybody not saved, we want to deal with them this morning. If it's just Christians, Lord, I pray that you'd deal with their hearts, Lord. Bless this invitation time. We pray.